Father, in the day and age in which we live, we know that it's through the valleys, it's through the hardships and the hard times, God, that we seek you when we cry out to you. But God, I pray for those in Europe today. Father, just through the testimonies I've seen of the churches that are gathering and still meeting, still singing praises to you in the underground subway tunnels, and yet, Father, as the bombs going off, they're still praising you. And God, it stirred my heart. Where would I be? Would I be praising you in the midst of destruction? Would I be praising you in the midst of everything around me falling apart? And God, I pray we do. I pray we can. When maybe those tragedies of life hit our world, and God, in our private path that we walk, Lord, that we may cry out to you and seek you, and Father, praise you as we sing in this song. Father, I pray as we study tonight, Lord, you'll give us an understanding, give us an insight that we may be able to take the truth, apply it, and allow it to change us as we serve you more faithfully. And pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Alrighty, turn your Bibles to Ecclesiastes. We are slowly coming to the end of the book, but we are digging in little bit by little bit, and we want to definitely put the brakes on and slow down a little bit, because the end of this book basically ties it all together and allows us to really walk away with an understanding of all the wisdom Solomon could muster up. He brings it down to where you and I can understand, and you and I can have, a really understanding of one. And chapters 7, 8 gives us an idea of the prosperity and the adversity that we go through. Because those two things in our life are where I think we come to a realization of God. We're okay when the days are well, right? We're okay when everything's going well and the days of prosperity. And boy, you know what, God, I'll call you when I need you. It's the days of adversity that we really cry out to our God. And I believe God knew that. God knew that we would have to go through some valleys in life in order for us to stay really focused on him. Because, Kim and I make a joke all the time. We do it all the time. Like, boy, you know what? Today, I would have not made it through the wilderness. You know what that means, right? I'd have been striking the rock or striking whoever I wanted to at that moment. But some days, you're not going to make it through the wilderness. So it was interesting. We like to say that back and forth sometimes when the days are going crazy. But, you know, when you look at life and you look at sometimes God knew that we needed those tragedies, those hard days. But we also know our hope and our trust comes from Ecclesiastes 7 and 8, where it says God is the author of those adversity days and times in our life. God has allowed them in our life. And so if you could really wrap your mind around the fact that, listen, we can't make sense of why we go through, can't make sense of the hurt and the pain while we go through it. But our hope lies on the other side that God's in control of it. And so when God's in control of that, what a difference that makes in our outlook and our outcome and lifting our heads above it all. So Solomon had great wisdom. And now we looked at this towards this end and we come to this last section and we're looking at how Solomon said, listen, enjoy life. And I can't say that enough. Christians, Christ followers, are the biggest Debbie Downers that I know. I mean, negative. They focus on all the bad. And you know, we as Christ followers ought to say, you know what? It's okay. We still have Christ. We still got God. He's still in control. And what the world looks at us as the worst they could do to us is a doorway to an eternity with him. How can we go wrong with that? So we want to get away from the fatalistic, like, man, everything is bad, everything is negative, nothing's any good anymore, to the happy-go-lucky, not even living in the real world. There's a balance in there somewhere. But we need to understand that Solomon is saying, enjoy your life. And we saw last week in the chapter 11, looking at verse 9 and 10, last week, we looked at those two verses, and basically, it's very important because he says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thy eyes. But know this, for all these things, God will bring them into judgment. And that is huge. How do you live life in a broken world? Man, enjoy your life. Go do what the desires of your heart are. Go do what you see to do. I was very envious. I was talking to somebody this week, and their husband, they're an elderly couple, and their husband always, his bucket list was to go to see the Aurora Lights. And so they're leaving Monday to go to Alaska, take a train ride to Fairbanks, and go up there for 3 days to the hot springs and see the Aurora Lights. I'm like, let me take your suitcase. Let me go with you. Pack me up. Do something. I'm like, man, that would be awesome to do that. Do the things you want to do. But whenever you live your life, remember, God will bring it all into judgment one day. You see, that's the underlying foundation of go enjoy life, but remember. So that puts the parameters on our enjoyment a little bit. It puts the parameters on good, bad. And I think there is so much good in our world right now. There is so much enjoyment in our world right now. There are so many things we could do to go have fun right now and still be in the parameters of God's will. And God will hold that, all of that up. And so that's what Solomon's saying at the end of this letter. He's simply saying, you've got to enjoy. But enjoy with the mindset that God will bring everything into judgment. So as we go down from those two verses, in verse 10, therefore remove sorrow from the heart and put away evil from the flesh, for childhood of youth are vanity. It's all those things in the childhood and the youth and the crazy things that brings, you know, the invincible, I'll be fine when I do the crazy things because I'm invincible, you know, I got all my life to live. And with that comes a mentality that we forget about there is going to be a death. And Solomon brings in the next section of this in chapter 12, verse 1. Basically, live joyfully, but live responsibly because old age and death is coming. You always heard all your life, there's two things, you know, death and taxes. Well, there's three, old age, death, and taxes. Old age creeps up on you a lot of times before death does. And so Solomon now is going to start this chapter 12 with a challenge that we are to live. We are to live responsibly. We are to live in our youth for our old age is coming. But he says in verse 1, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. What's Solomon saying in that? There's two huge principles in it. We're not going to get beyond this verse today. There's so much in this verse. There's two huge things that we need to look at. First of all, as he underlines the thought of responsible living in your youth. Again, as we ended chapter 11, we see how, remember, God's going to hold all that accountable. And he goes on again and says to live in your youth. Basically, a lot of word pictures are going to come. And death and old age and death is coming. And so with that mindset, there's like three groups of pictures here, and we're going to see them as we go down through. But in verse 1, basically the whole concept of that is live responsible before the miseries of old age come. We call them the golden years. We call them the years of retirement. We call them the years of you no longer have to work. You go do what you want to do. And the underlying definition of that is, my mind says go for it, the body says ain't happening. That's old age. That's how you define old age. And so when you see that, Solomon says, first of all, let's look at the first important part. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. The word there, very important, remember the creator. It means to reverend God. Don't forget your God in the midst of your enjoying life. Don't forget. And when you see that word remember, we need to sort of clarify that a little bit, because remembering brings into the concept that he created you. He's your creator. And if he created you, because he created you, we owe him our life. Everyone owes him our life because he is the one who created us. So with that mindset and remembering that, it's very important because the meaning, there's three different ideas. First of all, from the preceding verses, we understand that living a joyful life, but responsible life, because he is your creator. You owe him your life. And the second one we find is the final advice. Again, at the end of the book, we're going to see that. But in the chapter 12, verse 13, he says basically to fear God and keep his commandments. Why? Because we owe him our life. And the third thing that we pull out of here that we can see from the beginning, the verb remember. This word remember is very important because as you see that in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18 says, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore unto the fathers." So it's he that does it. Not only did he give you life, he's given you the ability, the gifts to work, he's given you the wealth. God truly gives us everything we have. And again, to me, it's very important. Psalm 119:55 says, "I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and I have kept thy commandments." You see, with this term remember, it's important because it comes with an obedience. Remembering God means that I'm going to remember to be obedient to my God. And Solomon says, remember your creator in the days of your youth. Go have your fun. Go do your deal. But remember, you're going to be accountable. And because he's your creator, you owe him your life. And as you live that life, you got to remember, reverend God. Listen to the laws. Do how he asks you to do it. Listen, our joy doesn't come from outside things, right? I mean, we can be happy with some stuff, but our true joy can only come from within. And the only way that I know that you can truly have that inner joy is when you lay your head on the pillow at night and know you stayed faithful to God. Because if you're not faithful to God and you're doing things you shouldn't be doing, or you're going places, saying things, whatever, however that works in your life, when those things happen in your life, what happens is you lay your head down at night, and guess what? All those things are running. All those things are bouncing back and forth in your mind. Or we get busy. I think over-busy is a sin. I really do. God did not create us to be over-busy. He created us to be busy. He created us to be working. He created us to continue the process of good stewardship. But over-busy, I think that's a sin in our life. And I'll tell you, when I get over busy, and we all get over busy, man, when I lay my head down at night, it's just bouncing. What did I do? What didn't I do? What do I got to do tomorrow? And what can I do the day after? I mean, it just, all these things start going bang, 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 bang. And honestly, that's what creates the Swiss cheese brain. Y'all have that Swiss cheese brain? You got a thought, but it went down the hole and you can't get it again? You see, I think the way we look at life, the way we live life, all contributes to this. And Solomon is saying here, remember, in that process, remember he created you. Remember to be reverent to him. And remember will answer all of that. It's very parallel to keeping the law. In Judges 8:34 says, "And the children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God, who had delivered them out of the hands of their enemy on every side." Israel didn't remember them. He didn't remember their God, didn't remember what he had done. And therefore, because he didn't remember him, they didn't follow him. And that one word speaks volumes to how we live our life in a broken world. Live it. Enjoy it. And I can't stress enough that we as Christ followers ought to be the happiest people in this world. We ought to be excited to get up every morning and go to work. We ought to be excited to get up and do things. But why aren't we? It's because we're focusing on all the things we got to do. We're focusing on all the people that we have to minister to. We're focusing on all the issues and all the things and all the negative in our world and all the struggles and the stresses and all the things going on in Europe and all the things. We are so mind busy that we've lost our joy. And we're afraid. We're afraid. This lady I talked to going to Alaska, she says, "I'm going to cancel." Are you nuts? What do you mean you're going to cancel? I'm afraid that if we get over there and he shuts down the power grid and we can't get back home, it's too far to live. It's too far away from home. I said, no, it's not. And I said, I'm sure your children will drive and pick you up if need be. But it's like I did everything I could to convince her. And I said, go home and read Psalm 37 and then make your choice. So again, we studied Psalm 37 Sunday night, didn't we? Psalm 37 says, fret not over what the evildoers can do and their evil devices. Trust in the Lord. Delight in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord and rest. That's the joy. When we get to that restful part, that's where we find our joy. And so when Solomon puts this, remember now thy creator, it's just not a word to just, you know, set aside, because he is the author of our life. He gives it, he takes it away. He gives life and he takes it away. And just to rehash this in our mind, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 says, And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breatheth into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. He created us. Now, I'm not sure about y'all didn't get created from mud, but that's how God started the whole process. We are created by him, and how it's great. But what happened to that? What happened from Genesis 2 to Genesis 3? The whole world changed, didn't it? Everything about the world changed. And I use this in some premarital counseling, because Genesis chapter 2, the very last verse says, and Adam and Eve were naked and not ashamed. And when you go to chapter 3, after they sinned, they looked upon each other and went, because the first time a man looked at a woman the wrong way. A man looked at the woman with the wrong intentions. All because of sin. All because of sin. I always tell them, which marriage do you want? You want the good marriage, you want the bad marriage? It's all because of the sin that does it creates that. So in our lives, Genesis 3:19 says, in the sweat of thy face, this is during the curse that God gave to Adam, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return to the ground, for out of it once thou taken, and from dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. What's today? That's exactly what Ash Wednesday is. It's a remember from dust you came to remember dust you will return. And they put that thing on your forehead. Now, saying that, I don't do Ash Wednesday. I don't. I just don't agree with, and this is, let me give you a little background on how it all started. Back in the 11th century, it started not as a sacrament. It didn't start anything, but what everybody would do is the Tuesday before this Wednesday, they would have a Mardi Gras. They would have a party, and they would indulge in every sinful thing they wanted, because they knew that in a week, in one day, they're going to give something up for God. So they would give whatever that one thing is up for God. That's today. That's Lent. That's beginning of Lent today, Ash Wednesday. So they would, you know, to put the ashes on. The ashes came from the palm branches of last year's Palm Sunday. And they take those palms, they burn them, they get the ashes from them, and they package them and sell them to everybody who wants to buy them. So then that's where the ashes come from. It's a carryover from last year, okay? And so that ashes then put on their forehead. And what that means, when you see somebody with that mark on their forehead, means that they are sacrificing some one thing to God that is wrong in their life, and they're going to let it go for 6.5 weeks. How heroic is that? For 6.5 weeks, you won't have chocolate, or you won't have something else, or you'll listen. I answered someone today. I said, I'm sorry, I don't do that. And the reason I don't is because if I've got a sin in my life, I give it to God any time of the year and it's gone. I don't pick it back up, you know, and it gives a lot of false hope. It gives a lot of false. So I don't participate in it, but I truly believe that you are going to return dust. remember, death is coming. And that's what Solomon is trying to say. Solomon is saying, remember this. The God is your creator emphasizes as the author of life. So let's take the positive side of this. Let's flip it over. The positive side of that is when you are going through, and you, your youth is gone, right? I think we're all of the age, we can say most of our youth is gone. So our youth is gone, and now you're in the old age bracket, and now from that old age bracket, the next bracket you get is death. And from that bracket, you get eternal heaven, which that's the bracket we want to shoot for. But when you get to those brackets, you start losing that. But the author of life, no matter what you have wrong with you, no matter what you are going through, and this is hard for me to comprehend, how wrong it is what's going on in Ukraine, but not one of them are going to die unless it's their time. How can you even begin to wrap your mind around that? When the evilness is dropping the bomb, thousands of people are getting killed, every one of them, it was their time. They would have died if the bomb didn't happen. Just think of it that way. God is the author of, listen, nobody is going to lose their last breath until God says so. He's the creator. So that to me gives me hope and peace in the end of my life. You know, I don't want Kim to have to make decisions on whether I'm on a machine or not on a machine. Don't let it go. You know, just let it go. God is going to do what God's going to do. No man's going to change that. No machine's going to change that. No miracle pill is going to get that. If we really, really allow that remembering he is our creator to be a foundational hope in our life, it doesn't matter. Now, that doesn't mean you go out and live your life crazy, because verse 9 and 10 of chapter 11 said you're going to be answering to God for how you lived. Listen, we need to take care of our bodies. It is the temple, right? It's a temple of God. We need to take care of our bodies. And I think taking care of our bodies is taking care of our bodies. We need to exercise. We need to eat right. We need to do those. We need to take care of our bodies because they are a representation. Because I've told you many, many times, I don't want to live longer. I just want to be the best looking stiff. That's it. I don't want to live longer. I can't live any longer. I met a guy today, 84 years old, that rides his bike 27 miles a day. I'm like, what is wrong with you, first of all? But I mean, this guy, I wouldn't think he was more over 60, 65 years old. He's 84 years old. Man, good for you. He's going to be a good-looking stiff. He ain't going to live longer. He's not going to live longer. But the problem is, we get this mentality that if we do this, we're going to live longer. If we do this, we're going to live longer. If we do this, we're going to... No, you're not. Doesn't matter where you're at. In the safety of your home, on the mission, doesn't matter where you're at. When God, the creator of your life, says, I'm going to take your breath and I'm going to hold you in the process, you ain't going to change that. Remember that. Go live life. Because we don't know when God's going to take that last breath. We don't know when God's going to take our last breath. But until he does, go live life, enjoy life. Remember you're answerable for it. Remember what he's going to do. And so this remembering thy creator is huge in our lives. Because when we see, again, the rest of the verse fits right into there, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. When you don't feel old, when the evil days aren't here, when you are out loving life, remember, he still created you then. He's still your creator. And if we could wrap our minds around that, we would be less grieved. And, I'm not that naive to realize that life doesn't hurt. Yeah, life hurts. Life's terrible. Sometimes just downright stinks. And it's painful. But we get back up. We get back up because why? We have a creator who said, go enjoy life. Don't stay here. Don't stay in your grief. Don't stay in all this sorrow. Don't stay in this mindset of negativity. Don't stay in this Debbie Downer life. Go enjoy it. It's still going to hurt when you go through enjoying life, but enjoy it. Just enjoy life. Man, I'll tell you what, I enjoy so much studying because the wordplay is interesting here when it says in there in that verse that that you know the troubles will come, have no pleasure in them, the evil days or troubled days will come. It's not talking so much about the outside. This whole context is talking about your body and your bones that don't work as well as they used to. It's talking about old age. It's not talking about the outside circumstance. It's talking about you wrestling to get up every morning, rolling out of bed, not wanting to go, and you know, you sound like that bowl of Rice Krispies every morning, snap, crackle, plop, down the hallway. This is what it's talking about. When those days come and you can't enjoy what you used to enjoy, man, enjoy the days. And I'll tell you, every day we wake up and every day we put our feet on the floor and God gives us another day, we just need to praise Him. Thank you, God, for the day. Another day. Don't mope through it. Don't think, oh, man, this is terrible. Listen, be the positive magnet that God died for you to be. And I guarantee you, when you walk around in a positive, walk around whistling a tune, walk around, didn't He not put a song in our heart? Isn't that what Scripture says? When you begin to walk around singing, whistling that song in your heart, you get a few stares, like, what did you have for breakfast? You'll get a few people wondering what in the world and who you are. But I'm going to tell you what, they will come to you. They will ask you, how do you stay so positive? Man, what an opportunity. Well, listen, I'm not positive because of life. I'm positive because of who runs my life. I'm positive because my Creator has me. And nothing is going to get to me, take me, or hurt me that He is not already a part of. And that's huge. That is huge in our life. So before we jump down into the next, verse 2 starts the next phrase. And again, before the gloom and decay set in, it goes to one step later, one step beyond in our old age, and it begins to talk about that. But we're going to look at that next week as we continue on. So trust this one verse is enough for you to just to really chew on for a while. And no matter how hard it is to get up into that new day, man, get the positive in it. Enjoy the day. Do the things you like to do. Do the things you can do, because the day's coming you won't be able to. And that's what Solomon's trying to say. Let's pray. Father, we thank You again for the study. We thank You for who You are. And God, I pray You just continue to bring us to a point of just